Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Chappell, and I wanted to personally thank you for tuning in to today's edition of Daily in the Word. The purpose of this broadcast is to encourage God's people every day from His precious Word. The message you're about to hear is based on the Bible and will encourage, challenge, and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. I'm thrilled that you are tuning in to listen, and it's my prayer that you will be encouraged by God's incredible Word. Thanks again for your prayers and for your support. May God richly bless you today.
The promises of the Bible and the person of Jesus Christ are more relevant and powerful than ever before. In our series entitled, Hope is Alive, your heart will be encouraged and your perspective renewed as you learn about the hope Jesus came to offer. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. At times, we all face situations that appear to be hopeless. But when viewed through the lens of God's Word and your relationship with Christ, there is always hope. In today's message, you will be equipped and challenged in your walk with God by studying the truths of God's Word. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Sustaining Hope.
The date was July 4th, 1952. Florence Chadwick was a well-known swimmer. She had already had the privilege of swimming across the English Channel in both directions. And so on this particular day, she stepped off of Catalina Island and into the water to begin her 16-mile swim across over to the area of Palos Verdes. The water was chillingly cold. The day was exceedingly foggy. But Florence Chadwick was a goal-oriented person, and so she began her swim. She swam valiantly for 15 miles. Mile after mile, she fought the cold water, and mile after mile, she made progress over towards the LA area. But suddenly, she felt herself fearing that she would not make it. She saw that all that was ahead of her was fog. The fog had settled right on to the top of the ocean, and every time she would look to get her bearings, she simply saw fog. She could not even see the little vessels that were around her, and though she could hear the voices of her coach, she couldn't really see where she was. Finally, with less than 1 mile to go, Florence said, "That's it, I'm done." And she crawled up into the boat with her trainer. She said to the paper the next day, "I'm not excusing myself, but if I could have seen the land, I think I might have made it. If I just could have seen the land, I think I might have made it." You see, it wasn't necessarily the cold. It wasn't necessarily being fatigued and weary. It was simply the fact that all she saw was the fog. She just wasn't sure she could make it. This morning in this message, I want to speak to three groups of people. I want to speak, first of all, this morning to the sorrowful. And I want to speak to you about God's sustaining grace. And I want to speak, secondly, to the serving. Those of you that are busy beyond measure, I want to speak to you about God's sustaining grace and hope. And finally, this morning, I'll speak to those that are searching. You're wondering if there is a God, if there is a way to have a relationship with Him. And I want to speak to you this morning about God's sustaining hope. You see, whether you're sorrowing, serving, or searching, all of us sometimes can get lost in the fog. All of us can get to that place in life where it just doesn't seem like we're ever going to reach our goal. We're trying to live the Christian life. We're trying to have a godly marriage. We're trying to have a good career. We're hoping our children will somehow make it and do well. But there are days, weeks, and months sometimes when all we see is the fog, and the devil says that goal is not even really there. Well, this morning as we look to the Word of God, God says that we're to cast our burdens upon Him, and He will sustain us, and He will get us over to the other side. Notice, if you will, this morning, God's sustaining hope for the sorrowing. You know, this morning, my friend, every one of us have sorrows in our life. I was speaking to a man this week who has been through a terrible time in the last few years with separation and divorce. And during this time, he has felt loneliness. He has felt that perhaps no one cared. He has been without money. He has felt embarrassed about the fact that he's had to ask friends for money. And during this particular period in his life, he has spent most days with tears and with a broken heart. Do you know that in every one of our lives, there is the reality of sorrow? You may not be experiencing it right now, but every Christian will face the reality of sorrows. And the fact of the matter is that as those come into our life, we must see that there is a plan and that God is at work. Now, the reality of sorrows is simply this. First of all, many of the sorrows are advanced by Satan. They are advanced or brought into our life by Satan himself. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the one that wants to sift you like wheat. He doesn't want you in the house of God. And Satan is constantly fighting against God's people. Notice what Paul said, if you would, and perhaps turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7 as we learn how God sustained the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, in this verse, we see the context. We understand that Paul realizes that God had a purpose even in allowing this trial to come to his life. But notice the phrase that says, "the messenger of Satan to buffet me." Satan will often buffet or come against a Christian who's trying to reach a Christ-honoring goal. And Paul said that this messenger of Satan had come into his life. Most Bible scholars believe this messenger of Satan was an eye disease that had come into the eyes of the Apostle Paul. In fact, when he wrote the book of Galatians, calling them back to the Lord, he reminded them that at one point their love and loyalty was so strong that they would have plucked out their eyes and given them to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man who had trials that had been sent to him by Satan. Now, sometimes people say funny jokes about the devil. Flip Wilson was a comedian who popularized the statement, "The devil made me do it." But how many of you realize there is a real devil who fights against God's people? He's the enemy of the believer. I heard about two little boys that went to Sunday school, and they were hearing a lesson that day about the devil and how he tempts and how he tries us. And on their way home, the two fellows were talking about it, and one of them said, "What do you think about that devil business? What did you think about that lesson today?" The other boy thought about it. He said, "Well, you know how it turned out with Santa Claus. It's either going to be your father or your mother." Now, moms and dads, I hope it's not us. Amen. I hope our kids see Christ in us. But the fact of the matter is that many of our sorrows are advanced by Satan. Satan destroys homes, and Satan destroys peace, and Satan will come and many times bring sorrow into the life of a Christian. But I want you to see something else about these sorrows. I want you to see that they are allowed by God. Now you say, "I don't understand that." I don't suppose we'll understand all of it until we see the Lord. But look at what the Bible says concerning this matter in 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." You know, the fact is that all of the fiery trials are Father filtered. Let me say that again. All of the fiery trials are Father filtered. In other words, the trials are allowed by God. And many times those trials begin to overwhelm us, but they are not necessarily meant to overwhelm us. I heard about a little boy named Daniel who was playing on some playground equipment, and he fell down and hit his head, and oh, his parents were so worried that he had a concussion or some problem like this. And the doctor said, "Every hour during the night, we want you to wake him up and we want you to ask him a few questions. Ask him his name, ask him if he knows what's going on, and make sure he hasn't had a concussion." And so, boy, his mom did that religiously. I mean, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, waking that boy up and "How you doing? What's your name?" She went in about 5 o'clock in the morning. She noticed something on Daniel's forehead. She got a little closer, and written in crayon, there was a little sign that said, "My name is Daniel." Now, I don't know if you've ever had trials to that extent, you know, where you just had to deal with it in that way and maybe remind yourself of even who you are. But the reality of sorrows is this simple fact. They are advanced by Satan, and they are many times allowed by God. Now notice in Job 2 and verse 6, the Bible says concerning Job, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." Again, we see an advancement of trials by Satan, but allowed by God in his sovereign plan. By the way, how many of you would agree Job had a few trials in his life? If you haven't read the book of Job, let's just read these few verses. "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." What an encourager she was. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Job said, you know what? He said, "I'm going to praise God in the good times. I'm going to praise God in the bad times. The God of the mountain is still the God of the valleys." And Job pictures for us a man who understood the reality of the sorrows, that Satan will advance what he will, but God has a purpose and God has a plan in every one of those sorrows. And that's what I want you to see secondly this morning, is the renewal for the sorrowful. How does God renew us when trials and sorrow comes into our life? Now, if you opened up 2 Corinthians, look at it once again, because this is one of the most helpful verses in the Bible and chapters in the Bible concerning how to deal with sorrow. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Notice the Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, again, Paul, his thing was his affliction with his eyes. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." Now let me ask you this morning, what is your thing? Is it your boss? Is it your finances? Is it health? What is the thing you're dealing with right now? And in your mind, you could write it right there in that verse. "For this particular problem, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, would you notice the Apostle Paul is asking for help, and he comes with the approach of the believer seeking God's help. And three times he came to the Lord and asked that this disease, this problem would be taken away. Now, there are some, we refer to them as health and prosperity teachers, who say that God will always heal every time, and if you're not healed, it's because you don't have enough faith. Well, my friends, very few men that ever stepped on this planet had as much faith as the Apostle Paul had, but Paul was not healed. It was not God's will. God is able to heal anyone. He did not choose to heal the Apostle Paul. Instead, he chose to give him grace. And he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And he gave him strength to bear the burden and to overcome in the time of the burden. He came to the Lord and he said, "Lord, I need your help." He besought the Lord three times. He took his burden to the Lord. This was his first response, not his last resort, but his first response was to come to the Lord in the time of his trial. Philippians 4 and verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." God says, "I want you to come to me with your burden." Now notice Paul approaches God, but notice the appropriation of grace that's given to him. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, folks, listen this morning. God's strength is not demonstrated by exalting us. God is not attracted to our strengths. He is attracted to our weakness. And when we come to the place of saying, Lord, I am weak and I am needy, God says, I can be glorified in your life. I can be glorified through someone who knows that they need me. And so Paul said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. He said, if having this trial, if having this time of sorrow was brought into my life, so that my life can bring more glory to God, then I am going to glory in the Lord and be thankful in this because I want God to be glorified through my life. And oh, how we thank God this morning that He renews the sorrowful by His grace, by the presence of His Spirit, strengthening us and building us each and every day. Now, one of the things that amazes me in the Christian life as I look at pastors and sometimes folks who've been saved 20 or 30 years, is sometimes how little it takes to get someone to quit. And the devil's going to try to get you to quit. He's going to try to come against you. He's going to try to burden you and fight against you. And the Lord will allow it because a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. And yet the fact of the matter is, my friend, so many times we fall short. We get caught up in the fog and we don't really realize that God is there all of the time. Now I think about those who've suffered in the past. I think about the martyrs during the Reformation age who died at the stake. They were burned at the stake for their faith in Jesus Christ. I think of the first century martyrs who for the cause of Christ gave their blood. I think of recent days. Perhaps you read a few years ago of the missionary family, the Burnham family in the Philippines. And how that Martin and Gracia Burnham were there in Mindanao, not many miles from where our son-in-law John grew up, and how they were serving as Bible-preaching missionaries and took a few days at a hotel for some rest. And the Abu Sayyaf, a Muslim terrorist, came and abducted them and took them into the jungles and tied them to the trees. They would not even allow this woman to be released from the tree to go to the restroom. They treated her like an animal. And finally, as the Muslim terrorists held this family there, there was an attempt to free them. And in the process, her husband was shot and his life was taken. Miss Burnham, writing in her book, In the Presence of Mine Enemies, wrote a few years ago, "My faith has been tested, and I'm more sure of what I believe now than I ever was before. God has given me joy and peace in the midst of trials." Here was a sorrowing woman. She had much to be sorrowful for, the loss of her husband, the loss of her dignity, the loss of her health. And yet she was able to say, God has given me peace in the midst of this, because in her weakness she sought out the Lord, and God's grace was sufficient for her. I'm saying she had a great problem, more than a little problem at work, more than a little financial problem, more than some other thing of this nature that causes many to be despondent and quit. She had a great trial of affliction, but God's grace was sufficient. And how many of you suppose if God had enough grace for Gracia Burnham, He has enough grace for you today? His grace is sufficient. God says, I want to give a sustaining hope to those with a heavy burden. I don't know what burden you might have brought in here today, but God will sustain you. God will carry you through. I want to speak secondly this morning to those who need to be sustained in the time of serving. Sometimes in the time of serving, we need God's grace as never before. I could give you many scriptures to illustrate the fact that God has called all of us to be full-time servants. God wants all of us to serve Him. Would you notice in your notes there the scripture Ephesians 4 verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. All right? Let's read that verse together. Ready? Begin. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. All right? Now think about that word vocation. The Apostle Paul says, I want to challenge you to walk worthy of your vocation. Now someone might say, well, my vocation is I am a contractor. I am a construction worker, a plumber. I am a police officer, an engineer in aerospace. I am this, I am that. But did you know, my friend, the proper answer for every born-again person in this room is this. My vocation is the servant of God. Sometimes the Lord sends me to Lockheed to do His work. Sometimes to the Antelope Valley Hospital. Sometimes as a Los Angeles County deputy. And I do all these things and I work in these different places. But my primary vocation is that I am a servant of God. How many of you believe America might be affected if every Christian recognized the call of God upon their life? But you know, one of the things that I've learned about serving? Serving is a wonderful thing. But sometimes in serving, we can also get caught up in the fog. And I thank God for people who serve the Lord. I thank God for those who serve here at Lancaster Baptist Church and people who have a commute to Los Angeles, people who have a busy, busy life, and yet they find time to sing in the choir, to work with the children, 15 services every weekend in rest homes, and 14 or 15 bus routes that go into underprivileged areas of our community and bring people in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and folks who serve as ushers. And I thank God for folks who serve over in the nursery this morning. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. But I've also learned that sometimes in serving, there are problems that come up too. I sometimes see the problems that we have in serving. For example, if you've ever taught a classroom of fifth grade boys, let's say you get 30 fifth grade boys this morning. How many of you know they're not all perfect? A couple of them need one more lesson about the devil, or they could teach it. How many of you know that the nursery workers this morning who are over in the nursery, some of them are going to discover that six-month-old babies dirty their diaper? Now, that's a new revelation for a lot of the men in this room. I understand that. But what I'm saying is that sometimes a care group leader who's trying to care is trying to care for somebody who doesn't care that they're trying to care. That's the nature of the ministry. Sometimes when you've had a long week and it's been hot and you get home from a late day of the commute, the last thing you want to do is try to encourage a widow or try to help someone in need or try to visit someone. And I'm just saying that sometimes, even with the best intentions, we can get in the fog when we're serving. Now, there are many challenges that come. Sometimes we have the challenge for time. Sometimes the challenge for money. All different kinds of challenges and problems that we face. I think of the first one this morning, the lack of supply. The Apostle Paul experienced that as he wrote to the Philippians from a Roman prison. He said in verse 12 of Philippians 4, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He said, I understand the ministry has these extremes. But he said in verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. In other words, the church at Philippi, the word communicate means they gave. They saw that he had some needs. They saw that he was in this time of having a lack of supply. In fact, they even sent their pastor, Epaphras, all the way from Philippi to visit him in Rome. And they were sensitive to his need. But Paul was just simply honest about the fact that he had needs in his life. Notice in verse 15, he says, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Now, if you've missed any part of this program, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to dailyintheword.org, where you can listen online anytime. You can also download the Daily in the Word podcast to your device and listen on the go. If you have questions about how to enter into a relationship with Jesus, we would love to talk to you more about what it means to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Simply call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. On Easter Sunday, we invite you to celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus at Lancaster Baptist Church. Pastor Chappell will share a message of hope and encouragement you won't want to miss. Join us for Easter at Lancaster Baptist and experience the victory, hope, and new life you can have in Jesus. You can find out more about this event when you visit lancasterbaptist.org.
This broadcast is a listener-supported program that exists because of prayers and donations from people just like you. If you make a donation to Daily in the Word, Pastor Chappell would like to send you a copy of his newest book, Paid in Full, as a thank you for your support of our ministry. Thank you for your help in spreading the good news throughout the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.